Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Now, let's go into the service for today's message.
Let's stay right here. Let's stay right here. Nobody move. Let's just stay right here. Because there's something happening right now. Carol Avila, the Lord says, I want to go in your boat and calm the seas. John and Carol Cohen, I'm going to come in your boat and calm the waves. You know, I'm sensing, and I got up early this morning and I was praying about the day, and I really sensed that there was going to be just a wave of the peace of Christ in the house today. I sensed that there was a lot of stress, a lot of challenges. You know, we come to church, we have our smiley face and get dressed. But, you know, we have real challenges that we face during the week, family, finances. We know a lot of those because we saw a stack of over 500 cards of people believing for miracles. So everybody stand up right now. Everybody just close your eyes. We're going to just stay right in this moment here. There's a name that's above every name. And there's a name, when you whisper that name, there's the peace of Christ. So Father, right now, we just speak the name of Jesus to every troubled heart, to every anxious moment. Lord, we come into your house because this is a house of peace. We come in as a house of rest. It's a house where we can get strengthened and encouraged. Lord, out in the world, there's a lot of wars and battles, but Lord, in this house, in this place, we speak Jesus. Everybody just whisper his name, Jesus. Whisper your name over your workplace. Whisper the name of Jesus over your workplace. Whisper the name of Christ over your family. The name of Jesus over your finances, your every challenge you have. Father, we just speak that name. It's a wonderful name. It's a powerful name, and that name, Lord, still calms the seas. So in this house, this day, right here, right now, saturate every person. Come on, just release it to the Lord, everything. Just release everything, to every anxious moment, every stressful point of last week. It's just being washed away because of the presence of Christ right now in this house. And in Jesus' name. Just whisper the name again, Jesus, Jesus. Father, we commit this service to you today. We just love you, Lord, and we thank you for all that you are, that you have done, and all you're going to do in this house today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, give him a high five, tell him it's great to be in the house of Gateway this morning. Awesome worship team. Guys, all I can say is wow. All I can say is wow. It's so encouraging to be in the presence of God, because the church is many things. We equip, we pray, we do a lot of things, but I tell you what, on a Sunday we come in, we just let everything down and get into the presence of God, and then we know we've had church. Amen. Hey, before we get started here this morning, I want to encourage everybody. You heard about Grow Tracks 2. Go get signed up. Empowering Your Purpose. That's going to be a great class. It's in 2 weeks, Sunday afternoon. And then also, Tim Appleby wanted to remind everybody, Salt and Light is in the foyer out here. Get some information. How many know that the church is the conscience of America? And we have a responsibility to pray. Kings, those who are in authority, but also stay current with what's going on politically, etc., so we can position ourselves to have a voice before God. So get all the information out there, and that'll be a blessing. Hey, I want to introduce somebody I saw here this morning. Pastor DeAndre and Jen, stand up. We are blessed to have... Go ahead and stand up. We want to say hi to you guys. Gateway, That's a man and woman of God. Yeah, so we say hi to him afterwards. We're blessed to have you here. You're behind a post. Are you hiding behind a post for some? Brother, scoot over here, man. I want to see you eyeball to eyeball here. Hey, we're continuing this morning the Heart and Soul series. And we want to say hi to those that are on the internet. How many know our internet audience is growing? So God bless you. And those in the cafe, put your coffee down, get your notes. We're going to get started here in just a second here. But, you know, we've been blessed with the Heart and Soul. Pastor David started a couple of weeks ago, beginning and launching this whole series with the importance of understanding Jesus's paradigm. You want to be great, well, you got to serve, right? And the whole concept of how Christ came to serve, not to be served. I mean, we're talking about a radical agenda when the kingdom of heaven comes in and Jesus ministers because he's serving. And then last week, he brought a bowl and a towel up here, just like Jesus did at the Last Supper, because there's something about when we wash one another's feet. Amen. We serve one another. What a word. Go back and get you can go to the internet, go to the website and get the teaching on that. That's been a lot of fun. So we're coming at it from a different angles here. This morning, we want to talk about the concept of always carrying a cup of water. Always carrying a cup of water. Okay, look at this here, Gabby. Everybody say, wow. Wow, it's a cup. Probably cost, I don't know, a nickel or whatever to make. But what you see here is one of the most powerful tools that Jesus gave to the church that we're going to talk about here this morning. We're not going to go into details right now, but make sure you get your eyeballs on this cup here because we're going to circle back around throughout the message here this morning because we're going to talk about this cup that Jesus referred to and what that means to you and I on an individual basis as well as this body of believers here corporately here, the cup of water. But here's the challenge. And the challenge is over the last 75 years, sociologists and the people that study the whole movement of people socially have been showing us that we have been drifting away from connectedness, from community, from dependency on one another. There's a big old study out of Harvard showing how that there is more and more individualism occurring, especially here in the Bay Area. And the message is, really, there's a subtle current here that says, I really don't need you. You don't need me. Because we're becoming so isolated. And so what I did is I started to write down all the self-service opportunities there that are out there now because of this little invention here called a smartphone, PC, internet speeds going up, etc. So on your screen there, there's 10 of them, but I had over 30 of them where these are self-service opportunities where I can sit at home in my pajamas with my cup of coffee and do all this stuff here and not even talk to anybody. Well, I got to get dressed to go to the gas station, but I mean, you got self-serving gas stations, fast food, grocery stores. I went through the grocery store. Luckily, yesterday, I didn't talk to a soul. I checked out and left, etc. Banking, movie theaters, tickets, car wash, home loans, healthcare, online shopping. Praise God for Amazon, but you know what? You know, we don't even shop anymore for Christmas. Carol over here, we just dial up Amazon. We just rattle up and everything's done here. Legal advice. I started an LLC with LegalZoom. I didn't talk to anybody. I can do it all by myself. I don't need you. But the problem, though, is it's backfiring here. We're becoming more and more isolated away. How many know that I need you, you need me, we need one another, amen? Now, compare that to the paradigm of what Jesus brought on this earth. I mean, he is just cutting culturally what American society is wanting to bring. Look at this scripture here. Jesus mentions Matthew chapter 10. Whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of water. There's the cup again, okay? Only a cup of water in my name as a disciple. Assuredly, I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. The operative two words are whoever gives. And with those two words, Jesus culturally says, no, We don't do this self-service thing. I mean, it's good. I mean, there's opportunities where, you know, there's benefits from that. But yet, Jesus's culture, the kingdom culture, is whoever gives. I want you guys to carry a cup, and I want you to be looking to give. That means connect with somebody else. So you're not by self. Now, let me give you an example of how far perhaps the church has drifted, and we're not even aware of it. As an example, Pastor Rick Warren with Saddleback Church, big old church down in Orange County, a affluent society. They got biotech down there that's a, you know, mostly white collar, and they got money, etc. But back years ago, when he started the church, he did a whole year and a half on this same subject that we're on serving, and Jesus' heart to serve the community and to serve one another. So he came at it from a variety of different directions, variety of different scriptures, et cetera, and he spent almost a year and a half on this same subject. What is funny but also eye-opening is after about 6 months, he had a guy walk up to him and say, "Hey, you're talking to us, are you?" And Rick Warren says, "Yep." And it took him about 6 months before he got the message. Like, oh my God, he's talking to us. Like he expects us to do this. I'm a VP of a biotech. I hire people to do this. I delegate. The government can do it. The church can do it, whatever. And Rick says, no, I'm talking to you. That's why I spent so much time. And it took so long before the people began to get the fact that Jesus really means this. Look at your neighbor and tell him, whoever will, give a cup of water. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. He's talking to me. And what that does is it shows us, even though they're talking about giving, it's like, oh my God, we got to break this down and just really make this super, super simple, because Jesus really is serious about cutting this culture to make sure his heart of compassion is experienced on this earth. Amen? So Gateway, we're talking to you. Am I the only one laughing? How come? Oh, Jesus. Pastor David, help me out here. So what we want to do this morning, we want to ask the question, who are we to serve, okay? And I'm only going to touch on three different areas. There's a long list of things we can touch on in the Bible about who we are to serve, but I'm going to just start with three of them here. But how many know the very first one on the list is always we serve Jesus Christ. That's the number one area that we serve with. And there's a reason why that is numero uno. In fact, you can see on the screen there's that scripture. Let's read it out loud together. Ready, go. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. I mean, here's Jesus. He says, guys, here's what I require. I want you to have total love, all you have, mind, soul, body, everything within you has a passion for Jesus Christ. He's Lord of all, everything we have. He's the centerpiece. He goes before us, behind us, around us. He has a plan for our lives. Everything focuses in on Jesus Christ. Amen? Can you understand that this morning? Because here's what happens is as we pursue serving and loving the Lord, he makes a comment where he turns this a little bit to show that as a result of our loving the Lord with everything we have, we begin to capture his heart for what he does. And so look at the verse here, John chapter 12. Jesus makes an amazing statement here. He says, he who serves me must follow me. And where my servant is, where I am, my servant also will be. So if you love me, Jesus says, then you're going to follow me. And where I am, you're going to be there. Pretty simple, isn't it? But at the same time, we got to ask the question, where is Jesus? I mean, Jesus, I mean, he's where if he were here today, where would he be? We're talking about Wall Street, Main Street, your street, boardroom at Apple Computer, maybe then also down on the gutters of San Jose helping out the homeless, whatever. Where is Jesus? Where does he want to go? He says, if you serve me, you're going to follow me. And where I am, you're going to be there too. We're in this together. And you see, the passion of Jesus to touch people's lives has not changed. The agenda has not changed. And if we truly follow the Lord, we will find out that the Spirit of God is guiding us to go to the dark places where Jesus would go and nobody else would venture. Can you say amen this morning? And so Jesus is making this comment here. He says, hey, if you love me with everything you have, well, then you're going to be where I'm at. And where I'm at is where hurting people are at and where people have needs. So as an example, let me introduce to you Brother Yun. Brother Yun, up on the screen, you got a photo here of this gentleman, a Chinese pastor. He has a book called The Heavenly Man. You can buy it on Amazon.
I don't need you.
I don't need you. But he pause. But we come on, get me back, anointing, come back. Brother Yun was in prison for 8 to 12 years, I forget, for being a pastor in China. When he was arrested, they put him in a maximum security prison with the intent of breaking him for him to divulge the name of the other pastors that he was associated with. And their agenda was to break the man mentally, emotionally, so that he would wilt and give in. At the prison, there were no toilets. There were buckets. And his job, 12 hours a day, was to go, Pastor Brad, and gather the buckets of the human waste from the men. You can imagine what that's like. And take them down to the river 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, and empty those buckets. And I don't know about you, but that would not be fun. And the first 3 or 4 months in his book, he talks about how he would cry out to God, God, why am I here? I'm a pastor. What am I doing here? They made a mistake, and it was bad news, grumbling, et cetera, et cetera. And after 3 or 4 months, he got really quiet, and Jesus said to him, I put you here. Because Jesus wanted to go into that prison. Jesus said, where I am, my servants will be as well, right? So he needed to find somebody to go in there. And so what happened is that Brother Yun had a major attitude shift. The next morning he gets up, I mean, he realized, wait a second, I'm here in this tough situation because this is a God thing. How many know God will do that? Because God's got a message, God's got a purpose, and he's looking for people that will say, you know what, whatever comes, I'm gonna serve you because God, you're in this for something. And that's the same thing, Pastor Carol and John, God's in that for something, what you guys are going through. You got to just find that and smell the rose because it's beautiful and it's going to blossom. But here's the deal. The next morning, Brother Yun gets up and he's rejoicing in God. He's thanking God. Thank God for this bucket that I get to, whatever. And so the warden of the prison saw him in his attitude of rejoicing and being happy and his attitude shift, etc. So they put the hardened criminals in his cell to beat him up, and they did. But one by one, he started leading these guys to the Lord. It started backfiring, come on. And it got to the point after another 3 or 4 months, the warden of the prison, I believe it was his daughter or a relative, was sick, almost deathly sick, and they heard that this Brother Yun prays for people. So he comes over, prays for the girl, she gets healed. And so they let him out of the prison because he started a little revival in this prison. Come on, Jesus, come on. Because you see, Jesus says, where I am, I want my people there as well. Do we have the courage, Gateway, to go where Jesus would go here in this city? Pastor Carol, you had a women's meeting yesterday and you had some people coming in talking about human trafficking, whatever. Do we have the courage to go there, to even talk about it? I'm telling you, Jesus wants to go there. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay, point number two, who are we to serve? We're to serve our neighbor. We're to serve our neighbor. Okay, so this certain lawyer, guy that understood the law, he comes to Jesus and he says to him, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, well, what does the book say? And then up on the screen there, you can see he makes reference. In fact, what he does, this certain guy that was an expert in the law, he first quotes Deuteronomy 6, where it says, you shall love the Lord your God. And then he quotes Leviticus 19, where it says, and your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, right answer. Good, good answer. Do that and you shall live. And then the guy says, well, who's my neighbor? And then we go into the classic parable of the Good Samaritan. And Jesus is defining. We don't have time to go into that all this morning. I'm just going to read this passage kind of as a way of reminder here. And then we're going to make a comment here. Luke chapter 10, Jesus said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, leaving him half dead. And a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. Thank you, Jesus. He went to him, and he bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and set him on his own animal, and brought him to an inn, and he took care of him. 1973, Princeton University did a study of human behavior in helping other people's needs. They took about 12 to 15 students from, I believe it was the theology department, I'm not certain, but they had all these students get together, and one by one, they took the student into, one by one, to another room. And they said, hey, listen, we got a special assignment for you. We want you to teach the parable of the Good Samaritan. But it's on the other side of campus at this room, and you got 4 minutes to get there. You got to move quick. Ready, go, bang. And they were gone. Then they go to the next student, brought them in, the same thing. We want you to teach the parable of the Good Samaritan. But it's on the other side of campus, and it's in this room, and you only got about 4 minutes to get over there. Go, you better hurry, bam. And so each one by one, they all came in, got directions, and all of them went across campus, and all of them taught this parable. But the problem was, is along the way, Grant, they took, and they put a guy on the sidewalk that was dressed up as a homeless bum that had blood on him, et cetera, like he'd been beaten up. But he was an actor. He was a prop, right? And every one of the students walked right over him and didn't stop because they were in a hurry to go teach on the parable of the Good Samaritan. Hello. What's wrong with this picture? My friends, the message here is that we live in Silicon Valley. There's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of stress. We got to keep things going. And many times, even in the church, we can get so busy doing things that we lose sight of the fact of who our real neighbors are. So we had a guy. Where's James Landa? James, are you here this morning? Where's James? Are you here? I don't know if he's here this morning. James was here Thursday night at our men's Bible study. We had a guy come up from Morgan Hill in a baseball uniform. He lives in San Francisco, but he was down in Morgan Hill, and his car was stolen with his wallet and all his money, and he walks from Morgan Hill, and he comes up, and he ends up in our cafe over here on Thursday night. How he did that, I'm not sure. But the guy didn't have anything. And I said to the guys, we had about maybe, 25, 30 guys there. I said, hey, let's collect some money to help him out, do something, whatever. And James said, I'll drive him to San Francisco after the meeting here. And so what we see is just a real simple example. God bless James. But, I mean, we see an example of how he, you know, saw somebody in need, you know, and took him, gave him a ride, okay? But here, what's so heartbreaking to me, here, John, could you give me those? Look at this, Gateway. You never know who you're sitting next to right in this house. This is the stack of cards from the people that filled out a need from the God of Miracles. And you go through this stack here, you find out we got people here all around us that come to church, put a smile on their face, but really deep inside, there's a lot of pain right here. And you never know who you're sitting next to. You never know who needs an encouraging word. The one that brought me to tears was a little boy who filled out one of these cards. I don't know his name. I don't know how old he was. Thank you, Pastor John. But he wrote on the card, Dear God, please don't let my mama die of cancer. He's here somewhere. I don't know who it was. But how many know that's a neighbor? That's somebody that is bleeding on the road. We can get so busy with ministry, walk right by him. And so the message here, friends, is let's slow down a little bit. Let's slow down a little bit. Because here the priest and the Levite, they walk right by the guy with a need. And here's the Samaritan gave us the example. So who's your neighbor? You never know who's going to show up that's going to have a need. So look around when we leave church today here. And if anything else, cup of water. We'll come back to this here. Amen? Okay. Number three here. Who do we serve? We're to serve the wounded and the broken. The wounded and the broken. Now, Matthew 25 here is the classic text of where at the latter day, Jesus brings everybody before him and he's laying out blessings for those that served him in a variety of different ways. And so I'm going to read here, follow along. Most of you have read this before. The king shall say, Come, you blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom. For I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And then the people said to Jesus, like, okay, when did we see you having these needs? And then in the next verse here, we see Jesus' response, Matthew 25:40. Jesus says, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of these, least of these, you did it to me. And so we go full circle here. We start with Jesus Christ. We serve Jesus Christ. We are going where Jesus Christ goes. And when we go there, we find out that we're serving and ministering to Jesus Christ anyway. You see what I'm saying here? And so, you know, we have this needs, these needs around us here. It's just like Mike. Mike, you stand up, Mike. I want to just shout, brag on Mike Martin over here. So God bless this man of God here. Mike's fairly new here at Gateway. Was it Oak Ridge Mall last week? Is that where you were close by? So 103, 104 outside? And I thank God for Willis Carrier. He's the guy that invented the air conditioner. So... you know, yeah. So anyway, Mike, you were what by Oak Ridge there. You saw a homeless guy, one of the Meridians on the U-turn area, and then you go into Chevron gas station. You buy a bottle of water, but also was it his wife or a girlfriend that was under the shade there by the gas station? You go. Mike goes out and he gives a bottle of water to the guy there, the homeless guy in the Meridian, and then he comes in over to the shaded area. I'm not sure if I got the story straight, but basically he goes over there and gives another bottle of water to this lady there. He's able to share his testimony. He's able to pray with the lady. We're talking about somebody that was thirsty. And so the bottom line here is that, Mike, you know, we're not doing it for the guy in the Meridian and the girl. You were doing it for Jesus Christ. Amen? Have a seat. Let's give a shout out to Mike here for doing that. Because you never know. You never know what is going to happen when we step into that arena and say, you know what, I'm gonna carry this cup and I'm gonna be a blessing. There was a gentleman, Guy Bevington was his name, about 100 years ago. He was a preacher in Ohio, and he goes to this church, sits in the back anonymously, little small church, and there's a lady up in the front there, and she says, I just want to thank God that God provided shoes for my children to go to school because they were barefoot. But he noticed that she was barefoot as well. And so God put it on his heart to get this lady some shoes. So he's leaving the church that morning, and he sees a shoe store, and there are these shoes on sale out in front. And I don't know how much they cost, 25 cents or whatever. He didn't even open the box. He didn't know what color or size. He just bought this box. And he gets home, and he opens it up, and he's thinking, oh, no. One shoe's a size 5, and the other one is a size 7. Oh, but what do we do? Do we cut the end off of one? Do we stuff, you know, whatever in the front of the other one? He's thinking, oh, gee, well, I can't take them back. So he just gave them to somebody who gave them to the lady anyway, because that's what he had, etc. So he goes to church the next Sunday, and he's sitting in the back anonymously. And here's this lady. She stands up, and she starts crying. She says, I just want to thank God for my new pair of shoes. And I know that Jesus loves me because I've never told anyone that my left foot is a size 5 and my right foot is a size 7. That is how good Jesus is to me. Now you see, listen, friends, Jesus said, when I was naked, you clothed me. What this guy Bevington did, he not only touched her, he touched Jesus Christ. And that's the end game, friends, is to love the Lord. When we serve one another, when we serve the Lord, we serve our neighbor. We serve those that are hurting and wounded. What are we doing? We're serving Christ Jesus. Amen? Okay, so the question is who are we supposed to serve? I kind of said that already. The Lord Jesus Christ, our neighbor, our wounded, the wounded. But the question is how are we supposed to serve? We got a ways to go on the screens. Another one. There we go. Another one. Let's say God bless Natalie. How are we supposed to serve? And then the next slide there says, always be ready to give, even with whatever means we have. So I want to close here this morning here. I can see what she did. I made a mistake in my notes here, because Jesus said again, whoever gives one of these little ones, you're actually giving to me. Our passion here at Gateway is to touch people's lives. That's why we're doing this whole series with meeting other people's needs, etc. And Jesus said, hey, if you even just do it with a cup of water here, just a cup of water, what you're doing is stepping into the opportunity for the opportunity of serving Christ and serving his people. And this is a picture of a young lady. I am looking forward to the day when I can give a cup of water to my new granddaughter. She's coming in September. Yes, so God bless my daughter. And so, because I want to be able to give a cup of water to it. What I want to do here, friends, is encourage everybody here. On the next slide here, Pastor David laid down this challenge here a couple of weeks ago, where we, over the next several weeks, we challenge ourselves to serve somebody for 6 weeks and watch your relationship get better. And so what we want to do is just encourage one another. You find a neighbor, you find somebody in need, you find somebody sitting next to you. Let's be a blessing to them in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. I'm finished. Pastor David. Yeah. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Right now, Father, we just thank you for your grace in this room, your presence, your peace, your joy. You know, I was praying earlier this morning, and I really sense that there are people coming in today that have never made a decision to serve Jesus Christ. There are people here today, you come to church, but you've never said, Jesus, I'm all in. I'm all in. I've kind of been on the periphery. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to give everybody an opportunity. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If you open your heart, I will come in. And there is a relationship there. There's a blessing there. Because Jesus came so that he could serve you. You were created to be loved by God. And I just wanted, by a show of hands, say this morning, yes, Pastor Chris, I'm in. I need to follow Jesus Christ with all my heart. I want to give my life. Raise your hand right now if there is anybody here in this room that says, yes, I want to know and I want to serve and I want to give my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I see those hands over there on the left. Anyone else? There's over also these other people. I see it. I see it in the back. There's people all through this room here right now. For the first time, making a decision to follow the Lord and to serve him with all their hearts. Let's just give a shout out to those people right now that have raised their hands right now in Jesus' name. But there's a whole another entire group of people that I believe the Spirit of God wants to challenge us this morning. And that is people that maybe have come into church for a long time, but you perhaps have been on the periphery. I mean, Gateway is a giving church. We've been ministering. There's a lot of things going on. Pastor Carol, the Gateway Community Outreach is doing a lot of good things here. But there are some people here perhaps that have said, you know what? I've never really gotten involved to be able to be a part of serving. With every head bowed, I just want to encourage you right now. Raise your hand and say, I'm in. I want to serve. I want to be a part of the anointing of Christ's love. I want to do what the kingdom of God tells me to do. And just raise your hand right now and just say, I'm in. I'm all in. I'm all in. I want to serve. I want to live. And I want to do what God has called me to do. Look, there's hands everywhere in this room. I speak in Jesus' name. There's an anointing on you right now. Those that have raised their hands and those that perhaps want to raise your hands, but, you know, there's still a lot of questions. I speak in Jesus' name for the anointing to rest in your life and for the grace to draw you into his presence, because it is by him, through him, for him that we do this walk of love and grace to this community. So, Father, bless every person that's raised their hand and let us walk with you, Lord God, and let us have that anointing to be able to, when we leave here, look for our neighbor, for the wounded, for the broken, so that we can continue what you started on this earth 2,000 years ago in Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. Now it's your turn.
Let's give Pastor Chris Cobb. What a great word. Wow. That's what we need. Heart and soul, heart and soul. How many want to be like Jesus? Hallelujah. We're going to bring the service to a close in a few minutes here. We're going to have an opportunity to bring our tithes and offerings as we worship. And I want to thank you for your giving. Those of you that raised your hands a moment ago, or if you're new in the church and you've never done so, there's a card right in front of you that says, I've decided. The other side, it says, I'm new here. And what we like to have you do is drop your card in the offering as it comes by here in just a moment. Just a connecting point. There's another connecting point in as we worship that several of our prayer leaders and ministers and altar workers are going to be coming up here in a few minutes, and they're going to hang around at the end of the service. If you need healing prayer, if you need someone to just kind of check in with and talk to, you came today with a need, and you'd just like someone to agree with you in prayer, we'd like to serve you right here at the front. So all of that is a way of connecting. And then as well, at the end of the service, to my left and to your right, room 201, we're going to have just a brief welcome reception for anyone that's new in the church. Kathy and I would like to shake your hands. We actually have a gift. It's a beautiful gift bag. Jordan calls it a swag bag, all right? So if you want a swag bag, come and join us at the newcomers reception. Had the privilege. Here's our youth worship team, and I love them so much. Pastor Nicole has worked with them and had a chance to go up and join the kids for one night at our youth camp. We had such a good time. I shared the word. I think Grant and Zoe, you guys also shared the word, and we're there, and we're around the campfire, and the smoke is wafting up from the campfire, and I'm teaching this message on the heart of a lion. And so I move over to this side to get away from the smoke, and the smoke is following over here. Now, when I was a kid, they used to have a saying that if you're a liar, the smoke follows you. But the kids were telling me that smoke follows beauty. So I said, I'll go with that. We had a great time. I got home, and the sweatshirt that I was wearing smelled like smoke. Actually, my paper notes that I was preaching from smelled like smoke. My tennis shoes smelled like smoke. My jeans smelled like smoke. And I thought about how, you know, you're in the presence of God. Sometimes it just kind of sticks to you. And you stay in that aroma for a while. So today as we worship, the guys are going to come and serve you as we give. And as the youth team leads worship, I'm just going to pray that peace we were experiencing and that heart that you've heard through this beautiful message today, let it just get into your clothes. Let it get into your hair. Let the presence of and peace of Jesus rest on you as we worship, all right? And I'll come back and speak a blessing over you at the end. Let's give. Let's worship. Let's enjoy some presence.
Bring it all to peace. The storm surrounding me, let it break. At your name, still. Call the sea to still. The rage in me to still. Every wave. At your name, Jesus, Jesus. Darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. You silence fear, Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. Breathe, call these bones to leave, call these lungs to see. Once again, I will praise Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. You silence fear, Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. Darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. Silence fear, Jesus, Jesus. the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus.
Love him, just lift your hands to him. Hallelujah. Lord, just let the fragrance of Christ rest so beautifully on our lives, Lord. The peace in the midst of the storm, the peace that heals our relationships, the peace that fills us with strength, the peace that calms our fears, Lord. Let that rest deeply on your people. Let us walk away bearing the fragrance of your peace. I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Hey guys, I'm so glad we could be together. I love each and every one of you. Pastor Brad and Maureen Abley, good to see you. I'm glad you're here. God bless you all. Hey, love one another on your way out the door. And if you're new in the church and I haven't met you, meet me in room 201 right now. God bless you, everyone. You are dismissed.